Focus 580. I'm Todd Gleason, sitting in the chair this morning for David Inge, who is away. Thanks for listening today, and we'll be getting to some phone calls momentarily about the United Way of Champaign County. A couple of things that we need to take care of up front, because we want to make sure that you understand just exactly who I work for and what I do from time to time. I work for University of Illinois Extension. I'm not employed by the WILO radio station, and we make sure that that happens simply on the agricultural side, that so that it's an ethical issue that people need to understand. On the other side of this is an ethical issue. I do volunteer for United Way. I do not raise funds. My wife, on the other hand, works for Kraft here in Champaign County, and she is involved with fundraising inside that plant. So those are the couple of things that we need to know up front that you need to know as you listen to this broadcast, and you can take those into account as I ask questions. More importantly, we'd like to open the phone lines up so that you can ask questions. I'll give you the phone numbers now, and then we'll repeat them periodically through the show. The number to call toll-free is 1-800-222-9455. Locally, it's 217-333-9455. The 9455, of course, spells out the letters W-I-L-L. In studio with us this morning is the president and CEO of the Champaign County United Way, Tammy Lemke. Good morning to you, Tammy.
Good morning.
And Andrea Rundell, who's the vice president of community impact for that organization. Good morning.
Good morning, Todd.
Tammy, tell me, what is United Way of Champaign County and what does it do?
United Way of Champaign County is a nonprofit organization that was formed over almost 81 years ago now with the mission of bringing people together to solve to make sustained change in how our community operates, sustained changes in community in lives of members of our community, and also to be able to know that people, when you add one and one together, you get two. So you put more things together as a whole, you have a greater power of getting something done.
How does fundraising happen, Andrea?
Fundraising at United Way is really done in this county for this county. We raise funds here in Champaign County through workplace campaigns and through just talking with people. And all of the funds that we raise through our undesignated funds come right back into Champaign County. That's how it works.
You mentioned a word there, undesignated, and I know as a volunteer what that means from time to time, but those who are listening may not know what undesignated funds are. So can you tell us the difference between undesignated and designated funds? Most people, I think, probably would be familiar with some of the United Way literature that they see in their workplace, and they may have an idea, but maybe not.
United Way's mission is to mobilize resources to meet human care needs. We take that word to mobilize resource to mobilize financial resources as well as volunteer resources. We mobilize financial resources, though, in two ways. Honestly, in our hearts, we want one person to care for another person. And we also want people to feel good about what they do. So we allow people to give their financial resources two different ways. When we talk about designated funds, which is a donor-designated fund, they can actually let us know how they would like their contribution to be disseminated out to the community or given to a direct agency. Now, that contribution has to be going to a charitable organization. That's a 501c3. It has to be an organization that is in that tax structure in order to get a tax deduction. But someone can make flow their money through us to do that. Why that is something that people like to do is that United Way has the opportunity to go into approximately 250 workplaces in our county and run campaigns there where people can do payroll deduction. So they have an opportunity to give more money every couple weeks or when they get paid than they would if they paid one check to an organization. So we are able to mobilize more money that way. What that money does, though, designated money comes into United Way and goes directly back out to agencies. That is not, and that's not used necessarily to meet community needs. It is just what a donor would like to do. So we fulfill their passion, and we help them do that. That is one way we mobilize. The other way, though, that we mobilize is that people can give to United Way in an undesignated manner. And it goes to our Community First Fund. And what that undesignated money goes to is to look at community needs. As Todd said earlier, he is one of the volunteers that helps us do this. But we have community needs assessments. We sit on a lot of community visioning processes so that we really are the resource as to what community needs are. people can invest in that fund. They can invest in that fund, and then we give that money out in various strategies. One, the most popular one, of course, and the primary one is program funding, and that's where that money would come from.
Let's make sure that we understand this correctly, because United Way is not simply an umbrella organization through which funds are funneled, or is it?
It is not an umbrella organization which funds are funneled. It is part of what we do. It's a strategy of what we do, but that is not our overall mission. Our overall mission is to look at community needs, assess those needs, and then make changes in community conditions so that those needs are met. We do that by program funding. We do that by public policy. We do that by many aspects. But flowing through designations is not our primary mission.
I do want to get through some of the financials before we get into some of the program funding and the programs that United Way works with. How many dollars are generated in any given campaign? How often are campaigns run? Those sorts of things.
United Way's campaigns, of course, are run every fall. It's a very typical time. They run in the fall around September, middle of September through the end of December. However, United Way's fundraising efforts go for an entire year. A fall campaign will run from a July 1st of 1 year through June 30th of the next year. We have about half of our campaign dollars, about $1.5 million, is raised from individual givers, leadership giver, and a lot of those are individuals that may not work at a workplace. So we're not just workplace givers contributions. We raise about $2.8 million, of which we give out into the community about $2.2 million of that dollars. Directly into program funding or designations or vision grants, somehow those dollars. We also do, we also believe it's very important as part of our mission is to mobilize volunteers. So we spend an additional about $100,000 helping our community mobilize volunteers, whether they be college students, community members, seniors, the labor community, and take a valuable resource of people's time and let them help people as well as those agencies benefit from that.
How do you do that?
Mobilizing volunteers is a tough item, because what we really want to do is we want to take somebody's passion, what they're interested in, and connect it with the need in our community. And so what we do is we're a resource. We know why people use volunteers throughout the city and throughout the county. And we take that information, and when people call us, we are able to match them up. We also, when agencies need help, they call us and say, we need 20 volunteers. We have the opportunity to know who would like to do that and match them up. And what we're working on right now is we're working on actually getting a more advanced database operation where people can log into a database and put in their criteria of what they would like to volunteer for, and they can get back some volunteer opportunities where they can connect themselves. We realize we're in a more data technology-driven world, and so we are going to advance our database programs to be able to do that. There is one right now. It's called cuvolunteer.org, but it doesn't have that advanced search functions that we're going to look to do in the next year.
This morning we're talking with Tammy Lemke, the president of the CEO, or president and CEO of United Way, who you just heard. Andrea Rundell, vice president of Community Impact, is in studio with us this morning. And we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-222-9455 or 217 locally, 333-9455. We do have a phone call on line one this morning from Champaign. Good morning to you. Have a question you'd like to ask today?
Yes, thank you. My question goes back to the past scandals at the national level in the organization. And I'm just wondering, bringing that forward, what mechanisms have been put in place to safeguard against that in the future. And also, not only nationally, but locally, what kind of audit process do you go through to ensure that, for instance, designated funds do end up going to the designee? And I guess just generally, do you make your audits, so assuming you get annual audits, do you make those open to the public?
That's a wonderful question, and I'm glad you asked that, because that's something that over the course of the last 5 years, United Way of America, which is our national organization, has been working very hard, as well as United Way of Champaign County is. I take that very seriously, as I am a CPA by trade, and so it's very important to me that we have accountability. What we've done at a national level, which we've also adopted here locally, United Way locally, is its own organization. We just do adopt national standards. Is that we've had we've adopted two things. One of it is called the Standards of Excellence. United Way of America has generated a standard of excellence of ways to how your organization should be on a local level. Your United Way locally should be operated and internal controls and accountability. To go back to that, United Ways, there's about 1,400 of them in the nation. All of them are locally operated with their own board of directors. So United Way of Champaign County and the United Way of, we'll take McLean County, which is our sister here in Bloomington, we are not the same organization. They're ran by different groups, different boards, but we do all agree to certain membership requirements from United Way of America to use the logo and the name and such. Those membership requirements were put into place about 3 years ago. There's 25 membership requirements for accountability. That goes to audited financial reports, consistency on how we all fill out our Form 990s, which is our federal government forms that go in. It also has to adopt a code of ethics policies, as well as with the new Sarbanes-Oxley acts that have come out for the public companies, we've also adopted them on a nonprofit level. So we have whistleblower policies and document retention policies. We've actually gone proactively against those. Our national CEO, Brian Gallagher, has also testified against with the Senate Finance Committee. He is on the task force that is putting together charitable reform. And so he is seen as a leader in that world. And so we're very proud of the proactive stance we've taken. I do wanted to clarify, though, that each of us United Ways in the nation are all independent organizations. So here in Champaign County, we have conformed to those standards of excellence. As a CPA, as I said before, I take that very seriously, and I make sure that we do that. If somebody in a different state, in a different United Way does something, it doesn't really, in fact, doesn't change how United Way of Champaign County operates, and we don't really have that much control over that as a local United Way. Nationally, we do.
The listener I know is still online, but is there a third-party audit, and can somebody look at the books? For instance, could the listener see your books?
Absolutely. We have a charitable organization. We do have an audit done every year. We have had a clean opinion for the last 5 years that I've been associated with United Way. That clean opinion is on file, is on record, and I believe a copy is actually on our website, which is www.uwayhelps.org. Also on there is our copy of our annual report that includes our financials, but our audit firm, a local audit firm, has done our audit expertise and nonprofit, and it's been a clean opinion. We also have our 990 that's available for public inspection that can be seen on the website or gotten a copy from the office, and we'd be more than glad to give that to anyone who's asked.
Any other questions, listener?
Well, that was going to be my next question. I know that the reason Community Shares was set up was there had been a lot of frustration in the past with, not a lack of transparency on the part of designated contributions. But I'm glad to hear this, and thank you.
And I'm sorry, if I can just continue on with designations, I'm glad you reminded me of that. We've actually inputted additional processes. We are audited. And we also have the ability to, what we've done is that every gift that comes to us designated over a certain dollar and minute a level gets confirmed with the donor. So we do double confirmation on those issues because we know how important it is that donors' wishes do actually come true.
Enough, I suppose, maybe on the financial side. We could come back to it a little bit later. Andrea, I do want to ask you, what are the areas that United Way once likes to fund, looks at in Champaign County?
Well, Todd, we do quite a bit of work with the local needs assessments, with other assessments in the area regarding what are the needs that are sitting there. We have spent the last year looking at a number of needs assessments and determining where United Way of Champaign County can best put its efforts to try and meet people's needs. That being our mission, mobilizing resources to meet human care needs in Champaign County. What we have done over the past year is look at how we can best help the people who most have their essential needs that they struggle with. What we've done in looking at that is we've decided to work with what's called the Self-Sufficiency Standard of Illinois. And the Self-Sufficiency Standard talks about what sort of level of income a family needs, a working family needs, in order to be able to be self-sufficient. That's to say, to cover their essential needs, food, housing, transportation, childcare, healthcare. These are things that you need to be able to cover. And how many families are struggling with that was part of our question. Looking at what it takes for a family of two working adults with an infant and a preschooler in Champaign County to cover all of those needs, their taxes, it would take about $39,800 annually to be able to cover their needs, for that family to be self-sufficient. If you look at the median household income in Champaign County, we're talking below that. We're talking $37,780. So in Champaign County, half the population, sort of looking at it roughly like that, lives below that median, lives below that self-sufficiency level for what a family of four with two adults working and two kids would have.
Certainly that's not living in poverty, though.
It's not living in poverty. It's living above the poverty level. Poverty level for a family of four is about half of that. But poverty level is pretty low. Poverty level only takes into account, it's set nationally by the federal government every year, the poverty level only takes into account the cost of food. What would it take for a family of two, three, five, eight to buy food? You can't just make it on being able to buy food. So this is why they have the self-sufficiency standard that we're working with in Illinois and in other states to say, you know, you don't just need food. You need a home. You need to be able to get to that job. You need to be able to cover health care being one of the major costs that so many people face. And you shouldn't have to make a decision between those things. Do I feed my kids today or do I get my medicine? Do I make sure that my kids have childcare today, or do I let the lights go out because I can't pay my electrical bills? These are not the kind of, you know, situations that anyone should be facing. But there's a gap between federal poverty level at which people can primarily get these public services and self-sufficiency level where, you know, people can actually afford all of those things and not be asking themselves day to day, am I going to be able to pay that next bill?
I've heard you speak to other people from time to time and say you really like your job because it gives you a broad overview of the county and the county's needs as opposed to simply one organization. Tell me how that works in the way the funding process works and what that broad overview you're talking about really is.
When we say we're United Way of Champaign County, that's what we mean. We're not just looking right here in Champaign-Urbana. We're looking across the county. What are the needs? Because the needs are different in different areas of the county. We have this, you know, what you call a, you know, metropolitan area of our little Champaign-Urbana-Savoy area. But then we have a lot of more rural areas. We have smaller towns. We have Rantoul. We have Mahomet. We have a lot of other places where the needs are different. What we have made sure we're able to do when we look at needs assessments, when we look at the information that we're able to gather around the county, is to say, what kind of needs are we looking at out here? What kind of needs are we looking at there? And that's why we try very hard to make sure that when we're looking around, we aren't just saying, okay, are we funding childcare here? We fund some childcare and youth care programs in Rantoul and in Mahomet. We fund some crisis programs, crisis response programs that cover the entire county. 54% of our funding goes to programs that cover the entire county, not just sitting right here in the center.
And you divide those funding issues into five basic areas?
As far as the funding goes, we have three main areas and a fourth, of course. We have Success by Six, which is our area looking at making sure that kids have what they need from 0 to 6 so that they can be successful in school. Kids need so much, and they need so much in order to be able to be ready to learn. And we're very concerned that they get that. We also have a focus area on youth. because it's so important that the youth in Champaign County are given what they need to be able to grow up and be self-sufficient adults, able to really contribute in their community, and like I said, be self-sufficient. And then we have basic needs. And basic needs is really sort of wrapping around that self-sufficiency idea of saying we need to make sure that people have food and transportation and health care. We need to make sure that they have housing. So we have those three main areas. And then part of what we do also is we look at making sure that the systems that are in place in Champaign County, the human care systems working together, services working together, are also able to work together. Nobody can do this on their own. It's a big task. And we need to make sure everyone's going together.
How many dollars actually do your volunteers parcel out in any given year?
The dollars are approximately $1 million, give or take $100,000 either way, depending on the results of the campaign. That's $100,000 of direct program funding, but that's just one strategy. And then if you take about $900,000 of designations that we process out, and we spoke about that earlier, and then you take the work that we do in the other areas that Andrea was talking about, we very seriously believe that organizations may not necessarily just need money. They also may need the opportunity to get their program strengthened. They may need some financial help. They may need some board training. We do that kind of work as well. And so when it's all said and done, we probably give out approximately $2.5 million.
And how do you make sure that organizations are performing or using the dollars in the way that they're expected to be used?
When we make grants to organizations, one, it isn't us making those decisions. This is a volunteer organization. We have volunteers review all of the programs. We have volunteers help us decide what programs are going to be most effective in advancing the priorities that we have and helping us to make sure that people can be self-sufficient. And we also require each of the programs to tell us, how are you going to report to us? How are you going to show us not only that you have people in your program, but that you're making a difference in their lives? So we have them work out accountability strategies. What kind of data are they going to track? How are they going to share that with us? And we have them share it with us annually. If we have particular concerns about any program, so we want to work with them more to make sure that they're able to strengthen what they can do, we ask for that information more often. But we definitely review those organizations to make sure that donors' dollars are being spent as well as they possibly can be.
And to piggyback off of that, Andrea mentioned, as United Way of Champaign County, we're a volunteer-driven organization. Besides having a board of 23 individuals, we also all program funding decisions, which is our primary strategy, not our only strategy. There's about 80 of them that just wrapped up their work, and they did a phenomenal job, and they gave about 8 months of their life, give and take, different weeks to work on that. But we also have formed what we call vision councils or committees that meet year-round. Because as you said, it was very important to follow up with program funding and grants. Those committees are called vision councils, but they're a group of like 9, 10, 11 volunteers, all volunteers that happen not to be board members, who look at certain subject areas and are issue experts in those areas. And they meet monthly, twice monthly, and they look at those issues and they keep up on them. So they help Andrea and the rest of the staff look at those issues in very good detail.
They're the folks who actually set our priorities in those areas. They're the folks who say, this is what we really need to be focused on. I'm accountable to the councils that I work with for what are we doing and how are we doing it, so that I have to bring back to them, okay, this is what I'm trying to do now. This is what I'm working with on this program. Is this the right direction for me to take? And they work very hard to understand the issues and help us set directions and follow them out.
So your volunteer corps is vitally important to the way the United Way works.
Absolutely.
Here in Champaign. Are all United Ways driven in that form?
They're all volunteer-driven. A lot of them may not have as many in the impact area or looking at the community needs as United Way of Champaign County has. Most of them have been their stereotypical fundraising volunteers. I mean, we also have another set of probably 50 volunteers in the fundraising side as well that does the work with that. In this area, we are trying very hard to mobilize more volunteers and use more volunteers, because it's as people see it and people can be part of the community, they give back more as well. And they are part of their community in helping it succeed as a community, we succeed.
As we were just wrapping up our We had a breakfast this morning for our volunteers, for the volunteers who've spent the last 8-9 months looking at all of these programs, doing site visits, bringing back information, making recommendations on them. And one of the things that I said to them this morning that I think is just so strong is so many of them come back to us and say, you know, I didn't know what United Way really does, and it's really cool what you do, but what's even better is I got to find out so much about our community and so much about the needs that are out there and what I can do about it. And what I said this morning was, this is fantastic because this is us fulfilling another part of our mission. This is us mobilizing more people in this community to care about it and put their caring to work. That's great.
It's interesting. Of course, I was at the breakfast this morning, and I have felt the same way in the past, that not really knowing what United Way does, being involved in some of the funding process, making site visits to all kinds of organizations, food pantries and Salvation Army and many different organizations throughout the community, and really getting an idea of how the community is serviced by those organizations. And it's an eye-opening experience. In fact, it's a very amazing experience, if I may say so myself. And thank you very much for offering that opportunity up to me. Tell me about some of this, not the funding process, but what happens, how does an organization become involved with United Way? And then you've told us that they have to stay involved in terms of giving you some data that comes back to you so that the volunteers will know whether they're performing as expected or not, or above expectations. How does an organization become a United Way affiliate?
Well, we, in the last 5-6 years, have changed the way we work with local organizations. We used to have what we call affiliated agencies, which is to say that organizations would apply to us and go through a fairly rigorous process of inspection of their organization and their programs to determine if they could become part of a select group that we would fund. As we've become more interested in addressing community needs on a wider scale, we have changed that relationship with our partners. You can fund programs, and you can make sure that those programs' clients get the services. But if we want to make larger scale transitions in this community and really help to meet people's needs and change the way our community deals with the needs that we're facing, we need to do more than just say, okay, we're going to fund these couple organizations. Good organizations though they are. And as Tammy continues to say, this is only, you know, one of our strategies, but it certainly is our primary strategy, is getting these funds into the community and making sure that strong organizations are out there doing those great services. But what we've done in order to be able to have a broader reach is we have stopped using the affiliation process. We no longer require an organization to be an affiliate of ours in order to be able to be funded by us. We have an open funding process. And so when we start up a new funding process, we put an announcement out into the community and say, we're looking for people who can help us meet these objectives. These are the needs in the community. We want to see them met. And if your organization is interested in working with us, we want to hear from you. We took applications from a lot of organizations in this last year that we had not worked with before. And while I can't put any names out there at this point because we haven't got it all settled, I believe we will find ourselves working with some organizations we haven't worked with before. This isn't to say that we don't hold them accountable, which was the primary purpose of affiliation before. We still require of them a number of the things that Tammy Lemke was talking about a little bit earlier. We require their 990s. We require their audits. We require their organizational structure information. Do they have bylaws? What does their board look like? Do they regularly turn over their board members, which is important for a healthy nonprofit organization? So we look at all of those things still as we work on determining who we're going to fund in the community.
About 25 minutes left in this hour of Focus 580. We're talking about the United Way of Champaign County with Andrea Rundell, the Vice President of Community Impact. Also, Tammy Lemke, the President and CEO of that organization. Tammy, Andrea mentioned that there are some broader ideas that you're working through and some new functions that United Way is becoming involved in. We talked a little bit about self-sufficiency. It's not likely that at $39,800 maybe that all of the insurance insurance needs for health care and such are covered by the whole family, and United Way is involved in a health issue here in the county.
Absolutely. One of the strategies that we are part of our mission is to work on sustained changes in community conditions and provide a leadership role in that, whether that means directing it or just facilitating. United Way is in a unique position where we are actually an innocent bystander. Our goal is to try to help people get their needs fulfilled. One of the things, and Andrea Rundell had mentioned earlier, is that there was a needs assessment completed last year on human care needs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a full needs assessment. It was just on human care needs. That assessment, when you asked individuals, whether that be people in the community, issue experts, or leaders in our community, what the most serious need was, they all responded access to health care. That was their most serious need. It when just asked outright. United Way truly believes that we should try to work on that most serious need. And so doing that, we have formed what we call a Healthy Community Initiative. That is what we're calling it locally. I have been working towards that. I met with one of the things that we first do with that is we went to the people who actually have been working on this issue. Access to health care in Champaign County is very serious, not only because of Medicaid reimbursement rates and access to Medicaid patients, but more importantly is if you look at what Andrea was talking about earlier in the self-sufficiency, those are people who are actually working. It's not people who do not have a job or apply or can receive federal guidance in order to get insurance. These are people who have a job who have to choose not to have insurance to pay for something else. In our community, our major issue is adults with no insurance. Children are usually can be taken care of through kid care and the Medicaid programs. It's important for them to have that access to it. But we also have a crisis issue when it comes to adults who are working adults, maybe 1, 2, 3 jobs, who do not have insurance. What we did as United Way is we spoke with the people who've been working on this issue for many years. It's not a new issue for Champaign. We spoke with both of the hospitals in town. We spoke with the major for-profit clinics in town and the CU Public Health, as well as the City of Champaign, the City of Urbana, the University of Illinois, and many others in that party. We got them all together and we said, we need to do something. And they all agree because they've been working on this for a couple of years, 2, 3, 4 years. We got everybody together and said, how can United Way help? And knowing that healthy community was something we were going to work on, with our number one priority is helping access to healthcare, increasing the number of spots that people can be seen. This group got together of all the parties I recently spoke on, and they said the best way to do that is to expand the services, to expand the number of people that can be seen at our federally qualified health center, which is Francis Nelson Health Center here in town. Now, that's a health clinic. It's our community health clinic that United Way has been funding for many, many, many years. It's a wonderful organization that was formed about 50 years ago in a home in the north part of Champaign. It's sitting in a house that just keeps getting added on to. Well, it is landlocked at this moment, and it actually currently has a waiting list as well. It can see approximately 5,000 patients a year. They see approximately 20,000 visits in about 8,000 square feet. They are a phenomenal organization that it's as a federally qualified health center, they get an enhanced reimbursement rate, but also get federal grants to see individuals who are not insured. It's our best way to increase access to health care is to increase the organization that can see them. So this group is working on a plan that includes not just building a new facility for Francis Nelson, because once you build it, the important part is the sustaining that organization. This group is working on making sure that it's around for 20 years to come. And hopefully over the course of the summer, we can get that done. And then Francis Nelson will be able to see more. So our number one priority of increasing the access to health care for individuals, we'll slowly see some work towards that.
Andrea, I have a question about this. I know that Francis mm-hmm. Nelson has a waiting list to be seen at that organization. Why is it that places like Carl and Covenant and the other organizations that United Way has been working with would be, what kind of vested interest do they have where they'd want to see Francis Nelson actually see more patients? What would it really matter to a for-profit organization? And I'm thinking as an organization as, you know, organizations, kinds of bricks and mortars, and why would it care? But there must be a vested interest of some sort that they have.
Well, beyond the fact that indeed they want to make sure people are seen, there are some other issues there. Francis Nelson, as our federally qualified health center, gets a higher reimbursement rate for Medicaid patients than our other organizations in town. That makes it actually feasible, because reimbursement rates are really quite low and generally don't cover the cost of services. That makes it feasible for Francis Nelson to actually take on those patients. And it is, because of the low reimbursement rates, it is actually a burden on the for-profit organizations to try and cover these patients, much though they want to see them, and many though, you know, that they do see. The way it's set up right now, it's very difficult for them to do and be able to sustain that.
And as we relate to the hospitals in our community, Provena Covenant and Carle Foundation, the issue with Francis Nelson, the whole goal of this, all the groups working here, is that an individual gets continual care from a primary care physician. When an if a person goes to the emergency rooms, you know what? They will be taken care of. The hospitals will take care of them. But that individual patient does not have follow-up then. That individual patient does not have a doctor who has their chart of all the things that they've been seen for and what they need to do. And so Francis Nelson is a primary care organization, so that somebody has continuum of care, which is extremely important. Going to the emergency room to fulfill this need or this need does not help a person all their needs. And so that's another reason why it's important that we expand the ability of a Francis Nelson to see those individuals, so that people get a better quality of care.
Listeners, if you'd like to join our conversation about the United Way of Champaign County this morning, please give us a call at 1-800-222-9455 or locally 217-333-9455. Again, those numbers are 800-222-9455 or 217-333-9455. We're talking about the Champaign County United Way with Tammy Lemke and Andrea Rundell. Is there a plan of action really put in place at this point, or is it still something that you're working on to expand Francis Nelson at some point?
It's a work in progress, I will say. It's one of the things that's very important for the group that is working on it, which does include all the major healthcare stakeholders in our community, is to make sure that Francis Nelson can continue to operate in the many years to come. And that's the next step that we're working on. It is important not just to build a facility, but when you build a facility that sees people who have no insurance, that facility then will not get paid for those additional people. So even though you add the ability for it to have access to health care, you're also adding them taking on patients who aren't paying them.
Yeah. Again, repeat to me why it is that United Way should be involved in this kind of function in a community. As an organization, it would seem that might be in the purview of other organizations of the county government, of something other than United Way. Why are you involved?
Well, Todd, I think Tammy kind of hit it when she said a little bit earlier, we're kind of an innocent bystander in a way. Our only interest in this is making sure that we can start solving some of these problems that we see in the community. We want to see these people cared for. So we can talk to a lot of different people about how do we do this. Our stake is in people. And our stake is in meeting human care needs in Champaign County. And so our interest is in being able to do that. And I keep laughing because we find ourselves in this interesting position of being able to do that, going and talking to people and them talking to us and saying, okay, yeah, let's figure out how to do that. Our mission isn't just, you know, let's raise some money and put it out there. It's providing leadership in Champaign County to meet human care needs.
Moving on to a different subject, as a volunteer, one of the things that I've been out to do most often on site visits when we've been assessing some of the organizations that are requesting funds of the undesignated dollars is to visit the food pantries. And I've been in I don't know how many over the last couple, 2 or 3 years. I've been through 2 funding cycles, I suppose. So I've been out on these kinds of site visits in 2 different sets of years at the food distribution centers. It seems to me that they're very widely scattered and not very well connected or organized. How does food distribution in the county happen?
That's a good question, because we do have a very fragmented system. The primary player in food distribution in Champaign County is the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. And if you are an individual needing food, you can't go to the food bank. Because what the food bank does is it serves organizations. It makes sure all those pantries, all of those hot meal organizations have the food that they need. If every little pantry needed to get out there and negotiate with the Department of Agriculture or with other corporate suppliers of food in order to be able to feed the people they feed, they would be overwhelmed. What the food bank does is it makes sure it can bring in as much food through those avenues to Champaign County and to the rest of East Central Illinois. And then it works with the local organizations to get them the food that they need to get out to the people. What you've noted, though, is that many of those organizations are very small organizations. Happily, they are serving people who come to them, but they are not a coordinated system. It can be difficult to find food. You wouldn't think it, but in a county as well off as our own, we do have people going hungry. If you look again at the self-sufficiency standard, we have like 16% of our population in Champaign County below the federal poverty level. And the self-sufficiency standard is essentially twice the federal poverty level. So we're looking at about 32% of Champaign County's population is struggling to meet those basic needs, struggling to make those essential things happen. And if you look at housing issues, you'll find that one of the things people do in order to make sure that they have a roof over their family's head is not have food. They don't know where the next meal is coming from because they're trying to pay their rent. They don't know where the next meal is coming from because they're paying for medicine or childcare. So hunger is a really big issue in our community. What we have, though, is such a fragmented effort, a lot of very good organizations doing their best, but they can't cover everyone. So it can be hard even to know where to go to find food for your family. In 2003, First Call for Help, our local social services hotline, received some inordinate number of calls, 5,000 requests for food assistance, and they were able to make over 3,000 referrals for food, but they had to tell 2,000 people who called, "I'm sorry, I don't know where to send you for food." We need a better coordinated system than that. The food's there. We know we can work with it. We know that the food bank can bring in food. And, you know, United Way is very, you know, keen on making sure that everyone is able to get the food. But we need to be able to have a system to get it out to people.
How many food banks are there in the county or in Champaign, in Urbana?
As an estimate in the county, and it's different kinds of food programs, some of them being food pantries, some of them being hot meal programs, the food bank works with over 100 different organizations in Champaign County, getting them food so they can get it out to other people. And yet we have this problem of people being, you know, unable to find where they can go to get food.
That's amazing. That I'm amazed by that figure every time I hear it, that there could possibly be 100 places for food pantries in a county, in a single county.
It's pretty stunning. It's pretty stunning. And I can't help but feel, as I often do when I look at a lot of different healthcare or human care systems that we're working with, if we were working together a little more, we could really be covering a lot. All of those pantries are no doubt doing a good job, doing their best to get that food out to people. And they couldn't take it on even if, you know, we were able to get 100 people to a given food pantry. A lot of them are very small. They are only open, you know, 1 day a week, 2 days a month at certain hours because they're volunteer driven. And, you know, thank heavens they're there. But I can't help but feel we could be getting this a little more coordinated and making it happen.
What good would coordinating do it? I mean, if the distribution system at the Eastern Illinois Food Bank is there and they're able to get food in one way or another, along with other people who are giving food to these pantries, why is there a need for some coordination? What might it achieve as an end goal?
Well, if we could, just as a first step, coordinate information about all of these pantries as to where they're located and what their hours are and who they'll serve, we would better be able to direct the people to them at the right time. So there's one simple way we could start working on that. And if we were able then to talk to some of them and see if they wanted to perhaps collaborate a little bit better, maybe they could pool their resources and be able to be open a little more time, or maybe at more accessible hours for some of the people who are out there needing it. I think there's a lot we could do that wouldn't take much more than just getting together and saying, hey, why don't we pull our information and see if we can't serve more people this way.
Do these disconnected food banks have any problems in that all of them have together, for instance? And I don't know whether this is the case or how this happens, really. Is there a way that you said that, let me think about this just a bit. Is there a way that people can abuse the system of food distribution in the county because it's not connected? And I'm just sort of a question I want like the answer to more than anything else.
It's a possibility. It depends where people go. And what sort of recording procedures any of those organizations have for, you know, who's doing what and what eligibility levels people have. At the same time, with the number of different pantries out there and the different kinds of hours that they run and the different kinds of populations that they serve, for instance, a lot of religious organizations have a food pantry through which they help members of their congregation, but not other folks. And no, you know, ill to them, because you can't take on the entire county with a single pantry. I don't think that is something that we are concerned about as a big problem. At the same time, if someone's working very hard to get to different food pantries in order to get that food, my guess is they need it for their family.
We've talked a little bit about children and child care. We've talked a bit about adult care, insurance, health care, food distribution. What about elderly programs? What does United Way do in those areas?
We have we have some wonderful agencies that provide programming for seniors in our community. We look at serving or making sure that elderly are taken care of on the same self-sufficiency model. Do they have the opportunity to have shelter and homes? Do they have food? We have, and one of the things that we have historically funded is the Meals on Wheels program that gets to elderly individuals who are homebound so that they are able to have food. We also historically have funded a senior transportation program so that seniors are able to get to the grocery store or get to their doctor's appointments. The senior population is a population that we don't break out to its own. You will notice it's sitting in a basic needs program, but it is a population, a segment of that we take very seriously.
Andrea, and I guess you reminded me along the way here that United Way is doesn't have, or maybe they do, programs that they really operate, but they fund different sorts of agencies. And sometimes it's easy to look at United Way and say, well, this is an organization that does something in the community, but really it operates with a whole series of agencies to have an impact across the community.
One of our biggest strengths is really just working with everybody, whether we are funding them or whether we're working with them to strengthen their organization, strengthen their programs, to help them, you know, increase their efficiency, their capacity, their ability to get this job done, or whether we're working on seeing how many people we can get together from different organizations so that they can deal with a problem that they're all facing. I think of the Latino Partnership of Champaign County. When I think of that, we have a rising Latino population, and human service providers, much like, you know, any business people, are saying to themselves, how do I best deal? How do I best help? How do I best work with people who are Spanish-speaking who come into my office? How do I figure out how to handle this? And what we did was we helped to convene over the course of a year, several meetings, about 60 different organizations, human services organizations in the community, who are finding themselves in this position of saying, I'm not sure how to help these people when they come to us. I don't have someone on the front desk who's Spanish bilingual. And it's very hard to recruit and retain people who are bilingual right now. And so what we did was we pulled everybody together and said, how can we all work together on this problem? All of us are facing the same difficulty. What are we going to do with it? One of the things that's come out of that right now is we are having some trainings being done. And it's a training in very situation-specific Spanish. And it's not, you know, Spanish 101. You're not going to be able to keep a conversation going. But it's aimed at those frontline people, the people answering the phone, the people behind the desk. And the purpose is for them to be able to talk with people who walk in the door, who make that phone call, and say, what do you need? How can I get your information? And how can I help you? Who do I need to direct you to? So that we're able to actually make that first move.
Just a couple of minutes left. Very quickly, how is it that you in office discuss keeping your volunteers happy? Because it seems to me that the United Way volunteers are very happy to do their job. And I would imagine most organizations have a tough time with keeping that smile on the face of the people that are helping them out.
Todd, that's a – and you're smiling, so we must be okay.
Phew, thank goodness.
We at United Way are very fortunate to probably have over between 200 and 250 volunteers on a yearly basis. And I truly believe that they run our organization. We give our volunteers – they actually make all the decisions. They are ingrained in everything that we do. We are the paid staff at United Way. We have about 9 people on staff, but we're just paid to carry out the wishes of the volunteer leadership. And I think that when you become ownership of it, and then you actually see people who have needs, you can't help but want to do it more and smile that you've actually helped somebody. And we believe that, and we'll continue to do that.
We also do our best to make sure that our volunteers understood that they are appreciated by us. They really are the ones who are getting it done. This morning we were lucky enough to have a volunteer appreciation breakfast donated by Biagi's. And so we try and do different things in the community that aren't going to take away from that funding pot to show them how much we appreciate all the time and effort they put into it.
Andrea, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Todd.
You too, Tammy.
Thanks,
appreciate
Todd.
It. Andrea Rundell is the Vice President of Community Impact at the United Way of Champaign County. Tammy Lemke, the President and CEO of that organization. Our thanks to them for joining us during this first hour of Focus 580. Time now for an update of what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade on the opening and the current ticks. As we look at those numbers in the board, futures are not moving higher as they did yesterday. In fact, turnaround Tuesday in place here.